up here. I know it is his desire to serve you and to serve the Lord. I know he'd appreciate your prayers this morning and your big smiles. Our brother Bruce.
It's okay, Beck. Let there be light. Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's so wonderful to see your smiling faces this morning. There's nowhere else I'd rather be this day, in this beautiful autumn day. And I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, this morning. It's so fitting. This morning we love our brother Buzz, and it's so fitting that this service should begin with an anointing of our brother. One of the ordinances that the Lord placed in his church, he placed it in the beginning, and it's an ordinance that will always be in the Lord's church. I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful to be in your midst this day. My sermon was talked about a lot in our Sunday school class this morning. Appropriate. My sermon is really pretty simple. I hope it doesn't have too much milk in it. I hope there's a fair amount of meat that you might be able to chew on a little bit. And probably it can be a wide-ranging topic, and you're probably going to think when I'm done, you're probably going to think I should have said more of this, or I should have said more of that, or I shouldn't have said this, or I shouldn't have said that. I missed something. I said too much. But I'm going to say the way the Lord placed it to me, I think, and it's something that's been on my heart a long time and probably always will be. I guess the title would be The Unchanging God. The Unchanging God, as the ordinance that we witnessed this morning is in the Lord's church, will always be in the Lord's church. Other churches may do away with it or feel as though it's not important, but the Lord gave us the ordinance of anointing the heads of the sick for the healing of the sick. You know, we live today in a society where many are no longer content with the old ways, you know, the old ways. And I would ask the question, where are we in that connection? Where are we? Are we no longer content with the old ways? The world certainly doesn't seem to be. I'm going to start out this morning by reading as a text, I guess, from Alma chapter 5 on page 325, just a couple of verses. Alma 5. Page 325, verses 33 through 35. This is Alma speaking. For I perceive that ye are in the paths of righteousness. I perceive that ye are in the path which leads to the kingdom of God. Yea, I perceive that ye are making his path straight. I perceive that it hath been made known unto you by the testimony of his word that he cannot walk in crooked paths. Neither doth he vary from that which he hath said. Neither hath he a shadow of turning from the right to the left, or from that which is right to that which is wrong. Therefore, His course is one eternal round. Our God does not change. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. I don't think this can be emphasized enough. We may change with the times. God does not change with the times. His word is forever. His gospel is forever and will not change. Do we find comfort in the knowledge that God does not change? Or can we be as the world is, wanting to follow an easier, more pleasurable way of man? Are we ever ashamed of being called old-fashioned? I hope not. We can be old-fashioned in some ways that maybe we wish we weren't, but as far as following the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're never old-fashioned. I'm going to go to, if you turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. Some familiar words, starting with verse 16 and 17. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? Ask for the old paths. Ask for that old Jerusalem gospel that the Lord gave us when he was on the earth. Ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. We will not. Man's ideas. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. Hearken to the voice of warning that comes from the Lord's servants. Hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. We will not. If I go back to verse 10 in that same chapter, it says, to whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Many people, when they hear the word of the Lord today, they hear only, thou shalt not. They don't hear the rest of the gospel. The promises of the Lord, if we are obedient, they hear, thou shalt not. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Christ promises. He promises, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Of course, we know our Lord was not speaking of Peter, but he was speaking of the rock of the Spirit of Revelation, the Spirit of Revelation that had spoken to Peter. That was the rock upon which the Lord would build his church. Centuries before Christ spoke these words, our brother Daniel prophesies of a kingdom which will last forever, unlike earthly kingdoms. Let's go to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2, one verse. Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. having to do with the church that the Lord would build. And in the days of these kings, you're familiar with the image, the revelation, the image that Daniel had seen of a great image of the world's kingdoms. And in the days of these kings, all of the kings that were shown, all of the nations, the nations that were shown in this image that was given to Daniel, the days of these kings was in March and April of 1830, when all of those kingdoms should stand together. All of those nations and those kingdoms would be upon the earth in March and April of 1830. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. The kingdom of God would stand forever. Though it was not destroyed, we know that within a fairly short time after Christ had built his church, that church of Christ generally, gradually dwindled into the wilderness of apostasy because of the precepts of man seemingly being more important than the gospel of Christ. And of course, we know that those precepts of man were led by the evil one, striving to destroy a kingdom that would not be destroyed. But it did go into the wilderness for a number of years. I'm going to go to Amos, book of Amos, chapter 8. Amos chapter 8, just verses 11 and 12. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. A famine of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro and seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. That word of the Lord that Christ had established had at that time been forced to flee into the wilderness. But the Lord does not change. And he promised to restore his church as he had built it. He would restore that church. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 29. Isaiah chapter 29. Words of prophecy given to our brother Isaiah. I'm going to start with verse 10 and read through 14. For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered. And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I am not learned. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. And the Lord did do a marvelous work and a wonder. He brought forth the words of a book, the Book of Mormon, a witness to the Bible that we already had. And he restored his church in these last days. And the Lord, in restoring his church, has given warning to the Gentiles of these last days. Let's go to the Book of Mormon on page 39, 1 Nephi chapter 3. 1 Nephi chapter 3. Starting with verse 213. Starting with verse 213 on page 39, this is part of Nephi's vision. And it says, "Therefore, woe be unto the Gentiles, if it so be that they harden their hearts against the Lamb of God. For the time cometh, saith the Lamb of God, that I will work a great and a marvelous work among the children of men, a work which shall be everlasting, either on the one hand or on the other, either to the convincing of them unto peace and life, life eternal, or unto the deliverance of them to the hardness of their hearts and the blindness of their minds, unto their being brought down into captivity, and also unto destruction, both temporally and spiritually, according to the captivity of the devil of which I have spoken." I think there's a warning in here to the Gentiles everywhere, but I think more specifically there's a warning to us on this nation, that if we turn away from the gospel of Christ, if we turn away from the commandments of Christ, we may be leaving ourselves open for a great judgment upon this land. A work which shall be everlasting was to be restored. And it was restored. The Lord's church, his gospel, the Book of Mormon was brought forth. In our Sunday school study downstairs, we've started to study the Book of Commandments. And I say not boasting this morning, but we've been studying for probably over 2 months, and we've now finished the preface to the Book of Commandments. I believe it's 7 verses. Of course, sometimes some of us weren't here, and we do get off. We get engaged in much discussion of things. So, but I want to. It seemed as though the words that we've been studying in the preface, or the instruction to the Book of Commandments, are pertinent to this sermon today. And so, I'd like to read just a few selected words out of the. The preface, the first chapter of the Book of Commandments, which was given in November 1831. And it's kind of ironic, and some don't understand how the last commandment, the last revelation that was given in 1831 could be the first, end up being the first chapter in the book. But it was identified as a preface or an instruction to the rest of the Book of Commandments. I think that these words have meaning for us. I'm going to go to the first chapter, and I'm going to start in verse 3. And read parts of verse 3. "The voice of the Lord, is unto the ends of the earth, that all that will hear may hear. Prepare ye for that which is to come, for the Lord is nigh, and the anger of the Lord is kindled, and his sword is bathed in heaven, and it shall fall upon the inhabitants of the earth. And the arm of the Lord shall be revealed, and the day cometh that they who will not hear the voice of the Lord, neither the voice of his servants, neither give heed to the words of the prophets and apostles, shall be cut off from among the people. You know, the Lord has said in the Book of Mormon that the day shortly comes, that he will cause a great division among the people. And I think we're seeing that in our nation today. Our politics, our culture, we're seeing a great division among the people. We're not looking for the old ways. Men are looking for what is new and exciting rather than the ways that the Lord has given us. They shall be cut off from among the people, for they have strayed from mine ordinances. We've strayed from the word of God. We've strayed from his commandments. You know, we sang a song this morning, how gentle God's command. His commandments are gentle to us, but they are still commandments. He expects us to obey his commandments. They have strayed from mine ordinances and have broken mine everlasting covenant. They seek not the Lord to establish his righteousness, but every man walketh in his own way, and after the image of his own God, whose image is in the likeness of the world. Down to verse 4. Wherefore I, the Lord, called upon my servant Joseph, and spake unto him from heaven, and gave him commandments, and also gave commandments to others, that they should proclaim these things unto the world, and all this, that it might be fulfilled which was written by the prophets. The weak things of the world should come forth, and break down the mighty and strong ones, that man should not counsel his fellow man, neither trust in the arm of flesh, but that every man might speak in the name of God, the Lord, even the Savior of the world, that faith also might increase in the earth, that mine everlasting covenant might be established, that the fullness of my gospel might be proclaimed by the weak and the simple unto the ends of the world. We know that the Lord uses small things, and with small things he's able to accomplish great and marvelous works. Verse 5. Behold, I am God, and have spoken it. These commandments are of me, and were given unto my servants in their weakness, after the manner of their language, that they might come to understanding. And also, those to whom these commandments were given might have power to lay the foundation of this church, and to bring it forth out of obscurity and out of darkness, the only true and living church upon the face of the whole earth. If the church was restored, it would be the only true and living church upon the face of the whole earth. He did that, brothers and sisters. He restored his church with all the offices and ordinances and gospel of the church that he had built when he walked the earth. Just one more verse out of the Book of Commandments. I'm going to go over to the fourth chapter and just read the fifth verse. The fifth verse of the fourth chapter. And thus, if the people of this generation harden not their hearts, I will work a reformation among them, and I will put down all lyings and deceivings and priestcrafts and envyings and strifes and idolatries and sorceries and all manner of iniquities. And I will establish my church like unto the church which was taught by my disciples in the days of old. You know, man already had a better idea for that verse, because in the Restoration, by the time it got to 1835, the Doctrine and Covenants that came forth to replace the Book of Commandments, the Doctrine and Covenants left out that last part where it says, I will establish my church like unto the church which was taught by my disciples in the days of old. And why did they leave it out? Because they had already begun to tinker with the Church of Christ. They'd already changed the name of the church twice, and they had to change this in order to account for some of the things that were happening in the church, that early church. The establishment of a presidency, the ordination of high priests, changing of the name of the church. We know that those things were eventually corrected after the group of saints came back to Missouri. But many of those things continue on in other facets of the Restoration. So we know that over the years, much of Christ's church and his gospel has been changed by men, some with good but misguided intentions, and some for malevolent reasons. I'm going to go into Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, starting out with verse 13. This is our Lord and Savior speaking. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You know, when we lament our small numbers, and I do quite often, I wonder where are the saints? Why don't we have more? We have to remember the words that the Lord says, few there be that find that straight and narrow way. Verse 15, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Skip down to verse 21. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Men have better ideas, they think. They want to change what the Lord has given us. He commands us to enter in at the straight gate, and the way is unchanging. Whether or not you look forward to changes in your own life, the Lord requires that the church and gospel he restored be no different than the church and gospel he built so long ago. Let's go to the Book of Mormon again. 2 Nephi chapter 11 on page 146. 2 Nephi chapter 11, page 146. Just going to read verses 90 through 92, starting with verse 90. And the Gentiles are lifted up in the pride of their eyes and have stumbled because of the greatness of their stumbling block, that they have built up many churches. Nevertheless, they put down the power and miracles of God and preach up unto themselves their own wisdom and their own learning, that they may get gain and grind upon the face of the poor. And there are many churches built up which cause envyings and strifes and malice. This is what we see in much of the churches of these last days. The precepts of men have taken over what the Lord has given us. You've heard the old saying, there's no such thing as a free lunch. No such thing as a free lunch. We have an old brother that used to preach about that, or Brother Gale. Well, it is a true saying. And with the Lord's blessings, with his grace and his blessings, come also responsibility and duty from his people. How gentle are his commands, but they are nonetheless commands. Let's go to Mosiah chapter 1 on page 212. Mosiah chapter 1, page 212. I'll read verses 53 through 59. This is some of King Benjamin's proclamation to his people, starting with verse 53. I say unto you, my brethren, that if ye should serve him who hath created you from the beginning, and art preserving you from day to day by lending you breath, that ye may live and move and do according to your own will, and even supporting you from one moment to another. I say, if ye should serve him with all your whole soul, yet ye would be unprofitable servants. And behold, all that he requires of you is to keep his commandments. And he hath promised you that if ye would keep his commandments, ye should prosper in the land. And he never doth vary from that which he hath said. He never doth vary from that which he hath said. Therefore, if ye do keep his commandments, he doth bless you and prosper you. He never changes and he keeps his promises. And now in the first place he hath created you and granted unto you your lives, for which ye are indebted unto him. And secondly, he doth require that ye should do as he hath commanded you, for which if ye do, he doth immediately bless you, and therefore he hath paid you, and ye are still indebted unto him, and are and will be forever and ever. Therefore, of what have ye to boast? Our obedience is required, and it's rewarded when we are obedient to our Lord. I think a lot of the words that are given in Luke chapter 12, verse 48, for unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And doesn't that make sense? We who have been blessed and given so much, the Lord requires much of us in proclaiming this gospel to others and keeping his commandments, taking the gospel to the world that those that are willing to hear might hear. The Lord is plain and straightforward about what he requires of his people, and it doesn't change. John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. They are not grievous, they are gentle, and yet they are commandments of his people that have been blessed so greatly. I'm sure that the world will continue to change in the days ahead, probably at a faster and faster pace. It seems to be changing so quickly, the things that are in the world. But I don't believe that the changes will be for the better, regardless of what the politicians promise to do for us. I doubt that the changes will be for the better in the world we live in. We know that the Lord does not change, and the only change that he requires of us is to repent of our sins, come out of the world, and keep his commandments unto the end of our lives. That's what he requires. James 1, verse 17, every good gift, and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, the unchanging God. I'm going to close with a couple of verses from our brother Paul. I'm going to go first to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy verse 4. This is our brother Paul speaking to his young charge, Timothy. And he says, starting in verse 2, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Longsuffering and doctrine. Doctrine that the Lord God has given us. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. You know, the Lord has told us in the Book of Mormon to be believing people, to be believing, but he's also told us to be careful that we're not deceived. Prove all things. Last verse in closing, I'm going to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Verse 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. I thank you, brothers and sisters, for your kind attention. It's been my pleasure to be here on this beautiful, glorious day that the Lord has given us. And may God bless us, each one, I pray.